From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, July 1st, 2026. The Maine Supreme Judicial Court heard arguments today about the validity of thousands of petition signatures for a ballot initiative. The group behind the initiative wants to ban transgender student athletes from girls' sports. Kevin Miller reports.
In May, Secretary of State Shanna Bellows invalidated more than 12,000 petition signatures for a variety of reasons. But attorney Tim Woodcock with Protect Girls Sports in Maine said Bellows exceeded her constitutional and legal authority when she tossed out signatures collected by four paid out-of-state petition circulators because they didn't check a box agreeing to abide by the state's rules. The campaign fell 532 signatures short of qualifying for the ballot.
If this is upheld, it's essentially an initiative has been pulled off the ballot with 1,520 otherwise valid signatures on the strength of a federal court order. That would be a remarkable result under these circumstances.
But at times, justices seem skeptical of Woodcock's arguments. And attorneys for Bellows and opponents of the referendum said Bellows was carrying out her duties under the law and the state constitution. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
A new poll suggests Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Graham Plattner has not united Democrats behind his bid to defeat Senator Susan Collins. As Steve Missler reports, Plattner has been unable so far to secure an endorsement from Governor Janet Mills that might aid in that effort.
Mills suspended her Senate campaign in late April, effectively surrendering the Democratic primary nomination to the combat veteran and oysterman. And while Plattner would go on to secure more primary votes for a Democratic Senate candidate in state history, a survey by the Siena Research Institute suggests some Democrats are hesitant to back his candidacy. He was asked by Maine Public on Tuesday if he's talked to Mills about securing an endorsement.
We reached out multiple times through multiple channels, but we still have not connected. I very much hope to do so at some point here soon. I mean, I would love to see a unified front moving into November. I have no doubt that the governor does not want Susan Collins to win. I mean, that's why she ran. I think she and I are entirely aligned on that.
Mills's press office did not respond to a request for comment. The governor did not mention Plattner in her statement after he secured the nomination on June 9th. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Lewiston City Council held a public meeting last night to discuss a recent wave of gun violence involving juveniles in the city. The council and the public heard from Lewiston Police, Androscoggin County's district attorney, and other panelists before the meeting was open to public comment. Several members of the public say they are frustrated with the city's response to the violence. Janet Bowden says heightened consequences are necessary to solve the problem.
Restorative justice alone is not working. We need higher accountability for juveniles caught with firearms. We need to stop pretending this cycle is going to fix itself.
According to Lewiston Police Chief Carly Conley, the department has arrested 19 people in connection with shootings in 2026, 12 of whom were juveniles. She says police have seized 44 guns in connection with criminal cases so far this year. Also in Lewiston, the city's housing authority is launching a new 5-year program that will provide federal rental assistance directly to tenants rather than to landlords. As Nicole Ogrisco reports, it's a relatively new concept for housing providers.
Lewiston's housing authority says it's the first in the country to offer the direct rental assistance in partnership with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. The authority's Travis Hainan says tenants often struggle to find a landlord who will take a traditional housing voucher.
Landlords often don't want to do the extra paperwork. There are, more requirements to rent to someone with a voucher. So this makes it more efficient. Landlords don't need to be involved in the process.
Hainan says he's hopeful that giving cash subsidies directly to tenants will reduce the stigma associated with housing vouchers. About 200 people have applied to the program. Hainan says the Housing Authority will choose 60 participants by lottery this month. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
Graduate student borrowers in Maine will have to shoulder much more of their own education cost as changes to federal borrowing limits enacted today severely limit the amount they can borrow. Previously, students could borrow up to the total cost of attendance to their institution. It's now capped at $20,000 per year, increasing to $50,000 if their degree is considered professional. That designation has triggered lawsuits for excluding some medical degrees. Myla Tappan at the Finance Authority of Maine says some students, but not all, may be able to fill the gap through private lenders.
But the reality is, here in Maine, a lot of students do rely on student loans to get through those sorts of programs. And is this going to potentially have an impact on the number of medical professionals we have here in Maine?
Tappan says the changes will apply only to new borrowers. 6 weeks after a fiery explosion at Robbins Lumber in Searsmont, several first responders and members of the Robbins family remain hospitalized with severe burn injuries. Burn survivors often face a grueling road to recovery, both physically and emotionally. And while their lives may be forever altered, some say years later that the experience has made them stronger. Patty White reports.
It was a cold night in February 2003 when more than 400 people packed the Station nightclub in Rhode Island. As the headliner band started playing, a pyrotechnics display sparked a fire that would engulf the building within minutes. One of the last things that Gina Russo remembers is her fiancé pushing her toward the front entrance, where hundreds of others were trying to escape.
And I got stuck, and I just remember thinking, I can't go back, can't go forward. And I had two little kids at home, and I just remember saying, God, please let my kids have a good life and let them forgive me for dying in this place. And then woke up 11 weeks later from a medically induced coma.
When Russo was brought to the hospital, she had third and fourth degree burns over 40% of her body. Her organs were failing. Her lungs were damaged from inhaling toxic foam. Doctors didn't think she'd survive. She beat the odds, but her fiancé was among the 100 people who died in the blaze. When Russo found out after waking from her coma,
I can tell you that I wish I had died in that minute. If it wasn't for my kids, I'm not sure that I would have stuck around. I'm really not. It's a difficult journey. Being a burn survivor is not, you don't get over it. You don't.
While she was in a coma, her joints calcified. It took her years to walk independently and regain function in her hands. She's needed countless skin grafts.
I've had over 100 surgeries. I stopped counting. I lost track. My skin gets very tight after a number of years, so I have to go in and have releases, skin releases. Sometimes they have to do new grafting because there's just no skin left to manipulate.
Russo also lost her left ear, along with her dark, wavy hair.
It never grew back, and it never will. I still, 23 years later, the reason why the cap's on now is because there's another open wound down my head. It just doesn't close.
She alternates between wearing a cap and a wig. It took a while for her face to heal, and when she initially went out in public,
it was just horrible. People were, I don't think it was intentional, like all these years later, but the looks on their faces, like I was a monster.
On top of her physical injuries, Russo also had to come to terms with the fact that her life was forever changed.
It's scary because you're hearing from doctors that you're probably not going to do what you did before. You know, mourn the person that you were because she's gone. You need to figure out the new you.
A burn injury is the toughest injury known to man, because not only does it affect you physically, it then affects you emotionally when you get out of the hospital.
George Pisotti received second and third degree burns over 85% of his body after a gas stove exploded while he was working on a home improvement project in Massachusetts.
It was May 12, 1979. I always say that's my second birth date.
While Pisotti was in the hospital, another burn survivor who had been severely disfigured in a plane crash came to visit him.
And he came over to my bedside, put his hand out. He says, hi. He says, I'm Alan Breslar. I spent 4.5 years in the hospital, and I've had 67 operations on my face. How are you doing, young man?
Breslar was the founder of the Phoenix Society, which supports and empowers burn survivors. For Pisotti, the interaction was a turning point.
After I listened to his story, I no longer saw his scars. What I found myself focusing on is what he had accomplished in life after this horrific, you know, plane crash.
Pisotti admits things were still tough for a while. His marriage ended. He worried whether he could continue to work in sales with his bright red face, swollen ears, and scarred arms. But with his new friend's encouragement, Pisotti started visiting other burn survivors.
He says, when you do a kind act for another human being, it'll make you feel good about yourself, it'll build some self-esteem, and it will help heal your soul.
It has, Passotti says. He remarried. He continued a successful career. And in 2014, he founded Burn Survivors of New England, which offers resources and support for survivors and loved ones.
I must say, when I was first burned, it was traumatic. But now I look back on that injury and say it was one of the best things that happened to me, because some of my best friendships and relationships have come after I was burned.
Gina Russo agrees meeting other survivors has been transformative.
People think I'm insane, but I love my life as a burn survivor. I love, love, love the person it made me.
She says it taught her to make the best of whatever she confronts and to focus on meaningful relationships, new and old. She's also the current president of Burn Survivors of New England. Russo says she's been in touch with some of the family members of Mainers injured in the mill explosion. Their journey is just beginning, she says, and she wants survivors to know they're not alone. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, summer gardening. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.